Golden State Media Concepts bring you Book Review Podcast, a haven for bookworms of all ages and the widest genres, from mystery to memoirs, romance to comedy, fantasy to sci-fi. If you love to read, this is the podcast for you. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast.
And welcome to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Sarah, and I am happy to be with you on this Tuesday. I hope you had a wonderful weekend. I hope your week is going well so far, that you're reading something that has you engaged and excited, makes you wonder what the characters are up to when you're not reading. Does that ever happen to you? I sometimes, when I'm really, really engaged in a book, I feel like the characters are doing things without me, even though I realize that they're words on a page and they're not doing things without me. But I just feel this need to get back to them because I want to know what they're up to. So, I don't know, reader problems, I guess. At any rate, it's lovely to be here with you on this Tuesday. For another interview, I have a returning guest to the podcast today. Maddie Dalrymple was on the podcast back in November, and she is returning now. When she was here in November, she spoke with me about her Anne Kinnear mystery series, suspense and thriller, and she did mention her Lizzie Ballard series as well. There is a new book in the Lizzie Ballard series. It's called Snakes and Ladders, and it came out this past Tuesday, a week ago, Tuesday, and she is back to talk about that book and this series. So I have that interview. I also have three copies of Snakes and Ladders to give away. Stay tuned to the end of the podcast and you'll find out how to enter into that giveaway. Before we turn to the interview, though, I do want to talk a little bit about the series. I'll give you the description from book one because there's two books, excuse me. Let me try to make this coherent. There are two books in this series currently. The first one is called Rock, Paper, Scissors. The second one is called Snakes and Ladders. And you can read them as standalone novels, but I feel like if you want to get the true sense of the characters and the stories, that it's always great to start at the beginning. And so I'm going to give you the description of the first book, Rock, Paper, Scissors, so that you have an idea of the series as a whole. And the description for that first book, Rock, Paper, Scissors, is as follows. Rock breaks scissors. Scissors cut paper. Paper covers rock. The rules are simple, except when it's people's lives at stake. By the time Charlotte and Patrick Ballard discover the damage their daughter Lizzie can do with her mind, it's already too late for Charlotte. They hide Lizzie away, trying to save others from the same fate, and trying to save Lizzie from life as a human lab rat. But they can't hide her forever. Little do they know that respected Philadelphia businessman Gerard Bonnet is responsible for Lizzie's ability, and Bonnet is willing to eliminate anyone who gets in the way of his goal of turning that power to his own ends. As her protectors are picked off one by one, will Lizzie be able to escape from Gerard Bonnet's deadly zero-sum game? So that is the description of the first book in the Lizzie Ballard series, Rock, Paper, Scissors. And it's a thriller, as I said, suspense and thriller with a bit of mystery, like all good suspense thrillers. And it deals with this main character of Lizzie Ballard, who has this ability that is not her choice. She was born with it, but she was born with it because of the effects of the fertility clinic that her mother went to when she and when Charlotte and Patrick Ballard were trying to have a baby. They went to a fertility clinic that was recommended to them. It turns out this fertility clinic was kind of messing around with how they were helping women get pregnant and trying to create certain types of babies. So Lizzie is born with this ability. It gets her into trouble that is not necessarily of her own making. I do not want to give too much of the story away because you should definitely read it. But so the first book, we get a lot of that backstory and we start to see how this is affecting Lizzie. She is 16 in the first book, 17 in the second book. So she is a young lady in some ways, very sheltered from the world, and in others, very mature for her age. So Snakes and Ladders, that is the second book. And in the second book, Lizzie Ballard and her godfather, Owen McNally, are on the run after their fatal game of rock, paper, scissors with Vivantum's head of research, Louise Mortensen, and her enforcer, George Millard. They find themselves in the Red Rock country of Arizona, and Lizzie finds a mentor in Philip Castillo, a psychic counselor with his own dark past. While Lizzie works with Philip to try to control her deadly ability, Millard is hot on her trail, and Lizzie's power will be no defense against the weapon he has chosen. When Lizzie makes her way back to Philadelphia, Louise and George strike at Owen, and in a bid to protect her dwindling band of allies, Lizzie takes the fight to Louise's turf. In this deadly game of snakes and ladders, will Lizzie be rewarded for her virtues or punished for her vices? I love this description because it doesn't give too much away. It doesn't even, you know, give too much of what happens in the first book away, maybe a little, but it definitely shows that things have moved on. The stakes have been upped. The ante has been upped, if you will. Lizzie is continuing to try to figure out how this gift is going to how this ability is affecting her life, how she's going to deal with it, what this means in terms of the people who are looking for her, et cetera. So she's trying to find people who can help her. And, you know, she's just, she's not ordinary because she has an extraordinary ability, but she is a young woman surrounded by people who are trying to help her, who care for her, but who don't necessarily have any, you know, great, amazing skills. They're not like superheroes. They're not former military or anything special. You know, nobody's a spy. So it's a really interesting look at how ordinary people react to extraordinary circumstances. And I have to tell you that I really loved both of these books. I got Rock, Paper, Scissors and was able to read that right before I read Snakes and Ladders, which I was excited to be able to do. And I read them both just straight through back to back and really loved Lizzie as a character. I loved Maddie's Anne Kinnear series as well, and Anne as a character. But Lizzie just spoke to me in a way that I want to know what happens to her. I want to know what happens next in the story. Some of the secondary characters really sucked me in as well. Her relationship with her godfather, Owen, we'll talk a little bit about that in the interview. I really, really love this series, and I cannot wait for the third one because I want to know what happens. And like I said, I really loved the Anne Kinnear series as well. But for some reason, Lizzie just pulls at me. The character of Lizzie pulls at me. She's one of those characters that now I want to know what she's doing. I realize the third book isn't written, but I want to know what Lizzie is doing without me. So let's go ahead and get to the interview with Maddie so she can tell you more about the process of writing the series of the characters and writing in general. So here is my interview with Maddie Dalrymple. Hi, Maddie. Welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you for having me back.
It's wonderful to have you back. I'm excited to talk about your new book in the Lizzie Ballard series. Before we do that, for those people who maybe didn't hear the first episode or who need a refresher, could you just share a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I write the Anne Kinnear suspense novels and the Lizzie Ballard thrillers. I live outside Philadelphia, and the first of both those series are set mainly in the Philadelphia area, also Chester County, which is where I live. My second Anne Kinnear book, The Sense of Reckoning, is set in Maine, which is one of the places my husband and I enjoy vacationing. And the second Lizzie Ballard book, which just came out this week, is set mainly in Arizona, which is the other place we like to go. So we like to go to Maine when it's too hot in Pennsylvania. We like to go to Arizona when it's too cold in Pennsylvania. And
right.
Found ways to bake those both into the books.
Nice. So tell us a little bit about Lizzie Ballard.
Well, Lizzie is in the first Lizzie Ballard book, starts out when she's very young, but most of the action in the book takes place when she's 16. She's a young woman with a special, unlooked-for talent, and a lot of the book is about how that gets her into some trouble and how she deals with that, both from a sort of a suspense thriller point of view, but also just from an emotional and psychological point of view, what kind of impact that has on her.
Mm-hmm. So can you talk a little bit about what your inspiration was for the character of Lizzie?
Yeah, I wanted to continue exploring the whole concept of what is it like to be a person with an extraordinary ability in the ordinary world. And I had done that in a couple of books with Anne Kinnear. Anne is someone who has the ability to sense spirits, and she has a consulting business that's based on that, that's run by her brother Mike. But she's a bit of a reluctant participant in that, and she's someone who struggles with that ability and is reacted to it by sort of withdrawing from a lot of the relationships she would otherwise have. It was interesting thinking about Lizzie because I wanted someone who similarly had that extraordinary ability but was bringing a different perspective to it. And so I don't think it's going to be a huge spoiler to say that Lizzie, as a result of some genetic modification that was done when her mother went to a fertility clinic in Philadelphia to for the pregnancy that resulted in Lizzie, it has the ability to cause strokes in people. And, you know, her family doesn't realize that until Lizzie's, you know, 5 or 6. And it's the first book has a lot about the family dealing with that. When I was first thinking about the Lizzie books, I pictured her as being someone who could cause fire. And I had started at a very high level sketching that out, and I was discussing it with a friend of mine, and she said, "Have you ever read Firestarter by Stephen King?" And I said, "I don't think I have." And she said, "Well, I would recommend you read that before you keep going." And of course I had maybe decades ago at this point read it. Once I reread it, I realized it. And it had sort of lodged in my mind. So fortunately my friend alerted me before I went too far down that path. And in fact, the day that I had made that realization, or my friend had made that realization for me, my husband and I were going to Longwood Gardens, which is a huge botanical garden outside Philadelphia, and we were wandering around, and I was pondering this dilemma, and there were some people there being, unusually enough for Longwood Gardens, sort of unpleasant, and this thought drifted through my head about, man, it would be great if you could just deal with people like that, you know, make them stop. And then I thought, you know what? It would be cool if there were. And that's where the idea for the stroke-causing ability came from.
Right. And so a lot of the first book is kind of them figuring out that she has this ability and what to do about this ability. You know, there's a lot of that development in the book, especially from Lizzie's point of view, trying to figure out, because she's a very small child when they figure out what she can do. And so trying to calm a small child who's about to have a temper tantrum, those sorts of things. It's an
yes.
Interesting dilemma that most people thankfully don't have to deal with.
Yes.
I have to say that I am exceedingly grateful that I do not have the ability to cause someone harm just by using my mind, because I get angry or upset or just any sort of strong emotion that might have some negative connotations. I'm very happy that this isn't my life, but we are going to take our first break of the podcast. When we come back, we'll be talking a little bit more about Lizzie and the series, a little bit about Maddie's other series and Kinnear. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I will be right back.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's gsmcpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast. I am speaking today with author Maddie Dalrymple about her newest book in the Lizzie Ballard series. It's book two. It's called It's called Snakes and Ladders. Let's go ahead and get right back to that interview. So that I don't want to, you know, give too much away in the first book because there's a lot that happens, but that is the overview. Can you tell us a little bit about the second book, which is called Snakes and Ladders?
Yes, well, Lizzie and some of her allies have hit the road from Philadelphia trying to get away from the difficult situation that Lizzie found herself in at the end of Rock, Paper, Scissors. Rock, Paper, Scissors can definitely be read as a standalone, as can Snakes and Ladders, but there's an overarching story arc that goes through these three books and will continue into a third book. And so they find themselves in Arizona, they have not completely extracted themselves from the problems that dogged them in Philadelphia, so that's really what Snakes and Ladders is about. And then from the more character development point of view, you know, now Lizzie is a young woman. She's 17, and she's still continuing to try to find that balance of what will enable her to live a more normal life. Because I think a key difference between Anne Kinnear and Lizzie Ballard is that I think Anne is pretty comfortable about sort of withdrawing from society at large and mainly focusing her energies on a close group of friends. But Lizzie, I think, is a young woman who really wants to make connections, really wants to be out in the world. And whereas Anne could easily be out in the world but sort of chooses not to, Lizzie shouldn't be but does, mm-hmm. and that's what gets her in trouble. But there are many things that I really admire about Lizzie, and one of them is her desire to keep trying to make that connection and make it in a safe way despite this ability she's dealing with.
Yeah.
And so she's continuing to explore that in Snakes and Ladders.
And I think that is a difference between Anne and Lizzie also, because Lizzie spends a lot of her childhood isolated because they are trying to prevent her from having unexpected consequences with interactions. So she really hasn't had a normal childhood. She's been homeschooled. The homeschooling has been interesting, depending on who's doing it. And so she knows a lot of stuff, but she doesn't know a lot about the world, which also causes problems.
Yes, I think there's a line in Snakes and Ladders where someone says she's a mature young woman with an oddly limited view of the real world.
Yes. So was there anything different for you in the writing process between these two books?
Well, what I thought was very interesting is that I did not have the whole story arc in my mind when I started out. In fact, I wasn't even sure there was going to be a series when I wrote the first book, but then I started nearing the end of the first book. You know, there was a nice point to tie it up, but I realized there was still a lot of story to tell, and I decided to make it a series. And then the more I sort of thought through it, the more I realized that it was probably a set of three, and not that I might not come back to Lizzie later on, but I think when I came back to Lizzie, she would be, you know, older, she'd be in her 20s, it would be a different kind of story. But what I did find is that I got done with Rock, Paper, Scissors, and then I started on Snakes and Ladders, and I realized that I had really set some pretty specific parameters based on how Rock, Paper, Scissors ended. And so it wasn't like I was just starting with a blank sheet of paper. There were some definite plot and character considerations that I had to factor in. And then that became even more apparent when I finished up Snakes and Ladders and I started working on book three. And I'm actually finding that it's a very positive thing, because I'm not having a completely blank slate to start from is enabling me to actually make a lot faster progress. So I'm already about 30,000 words into book three, whereas the first 30,000 words of Rock, Paper, Scissors, when anything was possible, took me much, much longer. So it's been fortunate and nice to have this experience of the specificity actually helping move things along rather than hindering it.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a process to keep yourself organized when it comes to mapping out a story and the characters?
Yeah, I'm a big believer in Excel. Mm-hmm. So I have a huge spreadsheet that has all the all the characters along the top and all the scenes along the side. And early on, it's very high level, you know, very sketchy. But as I progress, I'll put in each of those cells, you know, in the Lizzie column in scene one, I would say, well, you know, what's Lizzie doing? What's she feeling? What does she know? The what does she know is really important when for me, because my plots are pretty complex. And I never want to be in a situation where, you know, in chapter 12, I have two people meeting as if they've never met before, whereas they actually did meet in chapter 2. You mm-hmm. know, all those threads are very hard to keep track of. So I use Excel a lot to do that. I also use Scrivener, and I do sort of a similar thing where I can, I start each scene out with the name of the character, and then I can filter on the list of scenes so I can see chronologically, you know, the list of all the scenes and a little blurb about them so I can make make sure it's making sense. So that's always a tricky part, and always good to have a couple of ways to keep track of that.
Mm-hmm. You've mentioned the third book a couple of times. Do you have a name for that one?
I do have a tentative name. It's going to be continuing the game theme of Snakes and Ladders and Rock, Paper, Scissors, but I haven't quite finalized on it yet, so I'm holding that back for the time being.
Okay. And then as in terms of the game themes, did you come up with that first, or did you come up with the names and the theme of them being games after you started writing?
I didn't have a title at all when I started out, and my Lizzie Ballard books, the titles are all based on Shakespeare quotes, both the novels and also there are a couple of short stories out there all based on Shakespeare quotes. And I was sort of continuing that, but then I thought, no, I want it to be different. I want it to be something completely separate. And my husband was actually the person who came up with the idea that there's a theme in the first book that is sort of, you know, what power can best what other power? And, you know, in the sense of, you know, paper bests rock. And so we came up with that. And once he had come up with that, then it was easy to think of the series as being game names. And it was just a matter of finding. I did a lot of research on the internet for game names and then trying to find ones that matched appropriately with the theme of each of the books. And so Snakes and Ladders, as it went along, became apparent that there was a theme of what are your virtues, what are your vices. You know, many people might have played chutes and ladders mm-hmm. when they were little, mm-hmm. and that was a takeoff on a much more ancient game where the you know, the ladders are what lets you progress through the game and the chutes are what set you back. And that's just a child's game interpretation of the original, which was Snakes and Ladders, which is more oriented toward virtues and vices, that your virtues in life, which are your ladders, are what enable you to progress, and your vices are your snakes, and those are the things that hold you back. And then there's some other other appropriate tie-ins to the name within the plot of the book.
Yeah, thank you. What kind of research have you done for this series?
I found I needed to do a lot of medical research.
Mm-hmm.
It just happens that Lizzie or her compatriots end up in the hospital a lot, either intentionally or unintentionally.
Right.
And so I was able to find a couple of great and very helpful resources, including Linda Rollins, who's a physician and also an author herself, who were very generous about providing me with some input. I also worked with... I have a friend on the Coatesville, Pennsylvania Police Department who helps advise me on things related to police procedures. There's not a lot of that. It's not in any way police procedural, but at the end of the second book, the police do show up, and I just needed to make sure in that brief scene that they were being, you know, that procedure was being reflected accurately. I similarly have a friend who provides me with EMT or paramedic background information. And for Snakes and Ladders, I also got in touch with the Coconino, Arizona search and rescue team because there was an aspect there that I needed some expert advice on. And there's always, the research is great fun. There's a scene that takes place in Philadelphia, and I sent it to a friend of mine who works in Philadelphia, and she was able to straighten out a couple of sort of geographic references so they made more sense. That was the kind of research that I did for the second book.
Okay, thank you. There is a relationship in both books between Lizzie and her godfather, Owen. It's definitely very important, and I don't want to give a lot away, but can you talk a little bit about the relationship between Owen and Lizzie?
Yeah, Owen was, I think in all my books, there's a character that starts out as a secondary character that I fall in love with, and they end up having a much more major role. And in the Lizzie Ballard books, that's definitely Owen McNally, as you said, is her godfather. And what I really liked about Owen is he's a great big guy. He's a tall and obese man, very fair-skinned, and you know, he's a professor at William Penn University, which is my stand-in for University of Pennsylvania. And I didn't want him to be the stereotypical sort of bumbling professor, but he is definitely someone who is not, his personality is not equipped him to deal with the kinds of things that Lizzie gets involved with in both Rock, Paper, Scissors and Snakes and Ladders. So he's doing the best he can to try to protect Lizzie. I think for a period of time, he's really her primary protector, definitely in Rock, Paper, Scissors. And then in Snakes and Ladders, Lizzie's a little older, and, you know, she's had some experiences that have matured her beyond her years. And in the second book, I think Lizzie's trying to strike out on her own a little more. And Owen's still doing the best he can, but doesn't have the same kind of influence over Lizzie that he did when she was a child. But Owen's one of those people that I'd love to get together with and have a beer or three with.
I'm going to jump in here so we can take another break, but it makes me ask the question of, who are the literary characters that you would like to sit down and have a beer or three with? Are there ones that jump out? Are they secondary characters? Are they main characters? What are the reasons that you would want to sit down and have a beer with them? I would find that fascinating. Might have to, you know, put that up on social media and see what kind of responses we get. At any rate, we are going to take our final break of the podcast, and when we come back, the conclusion to my interview with Maddie Dalrymple. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I'll be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast. Over the break, did you think of anybody, any literary characters that you would like to have a beer with or a drink with or, you know, whatever you're, it could be a root beer if you don't want to drink a real beer. I would want to have a sit down with a lot of authors, which I get to do in my day-to-day life, but I there are a lot of literary characters that I would love to sit down with and just chat about their lives and all those questions that I have during the book that I would want to ask them as characters. At any rate, let's get back to Maddie, who has created some of those characters and has some insight into them. We were talking before the break about Lizzie's godfather, Owen, and we'll be speaking a little bit more about that as we get back to this interview about her book, Snakes and Ladders. Yeah, and that's one thing I really liked about Owen's character is that he is doing his best to try and help Lizzie in any way he can, but he's not one of those characters that has, you know, these amazing resources at his fingertips. He's not, you know, like the martial arts expert, or he doesn't have like past military experience or something. He's just what many of us would be if we were faced with an extraordinary circumstance, trying to figure things out as best he can.
Yeah, exactly. I think that that's so important just in general, because you don't want the characters to be caricatures. And Owen's a smart guy, and sometimes he does things and you think, wow, you know, that was really smart. And sometimes he'll do things and you'll think, oh, Owen, what were you thinking?
Yeah.
Which is, I think, exactly what would happen to anybody. You know, as you're saying, not everybody's the superhero and not everybody's the complete doofus. It's, you know, sometimes we're the superhero and sometimes we're the doofus, and all in the same person.
Will Lizzie and Owen's relationship continue then to evolve in book three, I would assume?
Yes, it will. That's definitely still a work in progress. The Lizzie Owen part of the story is the one that's least formed up in my mind yet. But yeah, Owen will continue on to be an important person in book three.
Sure. Do you have kind of a general idea of when book three will come out?
It won't be until next year, but I don't know exactly when next year.
Okay, because I really want to read it, and I'd like to read it tomorrow.
Excellent. I love hearing that.
If you could just, you know, move that along, that'd be great. So the last time you were on the podcast, we did talk about your Ann Kinnear series, and you have talked about that some already. You've given a bit of an overview on the series and Anne. Will there be another Anne book coming out?
There definitely will be. I see Anne as being the ongoing force in my writing life, and I feel bad that I haven't gotten back to Anne in novel form, although there are a couple of short stories out there that I have written to tide myself and the Anne fans over, all based on, you know, short, I call them the Anne Kinnear suspense shorts. So, you know, if you just need a little short shot of suspense in your life, then you can go to those. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to getting back to those. When I first started the Lizzie Ballard book, I had the two Anne Kinnear books, and then I thought, well, I'll write this Lizzie Ballard book, and then I'll go back and do an Anne book. Then I'll come back and do the Lizzie book. But the first Lizzie book ended on a bit of a cliffhanger if you read the epilogue, and I thought, well, that's kind of mean to make people wait too long, so I'll just do that, and then I'll get back to Anne. And then when I realized that there was really a three-book arc for Lizzie, I thought, you know what, I'm just going to close out the three-book arc for Lizzie and then get back to Anne. So, yes, I would think that that next year I would start working on another Anne book. But I am going to try to get some more short stories out. I'm writing... my eventual hope is that I'll have 12 of them, and I'll be able to publish them as A Year of Kinnear, and there will be one for each, sort of thematically for each month. One of the ones that's out on Amazon now is the Easter story, but don't read it thinking it's going to be your traditional Easter story.
Right.
It's a very non-traditional Easter story called May Violet Spring. So, yeah, I'm trying to keep in touch with the Anne characters while I'm focused on Lizzie.
Yeah, Lizzie's being kind of selfish right now and taking up all of your time.
Exactly.
Yeah. So is there a difference in how you approach writing Anne versus writing Lizzie, both the characters and the series?
I think that it's not so much a difference between the series, but just the fact that, now this is, you know, my first two books were Anne and the second two books were Lizzie, and so it's just gotten easier over time. So the first Anne Kinnear book took me 2.5 years because I really had no idea, and there were lots and lots of false starts and regroupings and, you know, realizing after a couple of months that a storyline wasn't working and having to go back and completely rework it. And I was very pleased with the end result, but it was not an efficiently written book. And I think that having had the experience, I'm able to write more quickly, and I'm able to avoid some of those, you know, going down the rabbit hole too much, recognizing it earlier and being able to plan out a little, you know, do a little more advanced planning. So the writing process is definitely easier, but then I think when I go back, I finally get back to Anne, I'm hoping I'll be able to carry forward those lessons to that series as well.
Mm-hmm. And now that you have four books and some short stories out there, do you find that you have a favorite thing about the writing process?
I think my favorite thing is just the idea that you can create a whole world and this population of people, and then you can go out and talk about that world and those people with readers as if they're real people. And there's really just nothing more fun than going to a book club with a bunch of people who have read your book and have people get into an argument about a what a character does, as if, you know, they're talking about the person who lives next door, or talk about, oh, you know, I grew up in that area and I, you know, I loved reading about it in the book. So I think coming up with the world and then sharing it out with the world are my favorite parts.
Mm-hmm. This is slightly off topic of that, but do you think that Anne and Lizzie will ever encounter one another in the literary world?
I don't think so, although there are some cameos. So a couple of months ago, I put a contest out on Facebook saying that in Rock, Paper, Scissors, there's an unnamed cameo where two people from Anne Kinnear show up in Lizzie Ballard's world. Unnamed is important because there are actually a couple of named characters as well. Joe Booth, who is a major character in the Anne Kinnear stories, has a very brief appearance in the Lizzie Ballard books, as does his boss, Margaret Fraker. But there are two unnamed characters. I offered an Anne Kinnear mug to someone who could identify them, and that mug is still up for grabs. So if any of your listeners think they know who that is, they should go to my Facebook page and drop me a message, and they may win a mug.
Oh, cool.
So it's fun to do those little crossovers, and because Anne's Pennsylvania home base, where her brother lives, is Westchester, where I lived. I still live near there and lived there myself for many years. And Lizzie's home base has been the main line, the rail line that runs west out of Philadelphia. She's lived in a number of places along there. So there are a lot of references to similar geographical areas across the series. But it seems like it would be a little too much to have, you know, the spirit-sensing Anne Kinnear and the stroke-inducing Lizzie Ballard show up in one book. But never say never.
Right. You never know what those characters are going to do in the future.
Exactly.
What are you reading this summer, if you have time to read?
I am fitting in reading, because I think that reading is just as important for authors as writing is, because you have to, it's always a learning experience, and I've been focusing lately on other suspense and thriller authors in the Philadelphia area. So I actually am in the process of reading Jane Kelly's Meg Daniels story. This is her fifth Meg Daniels mystery, Greetings from Ventnor City. I'm doing a beta read for Jane for that. And earlier in the year, I was doing a beta read for Jane Gorman in her Adam Kaminsky series. Her fifth book in that series is A Pale Reflection. That's coming out, so I'm looking forward to reading that in its finalized format. And then another Philadelphia area author is Lisa Reagan, whose Vanishing Girls just came out, and I'm looking forward to reading that. That's definitely next up on my bedside table.
Okay, thank you for that. Mm-hmm. As you said, the new Lizzie Ballard book, Snakes and Ladders, just came out on Tuesday, which is very exciting. I know mm-hmm. you had a release party, I think, on Thursday this past week.
Yes.
What else do you have coming up for the release of Snakes and Ladders?
Well, on Tuesday, which I think is the day that this podcast episode will be published, I'm going to be at the Longport, New Jersey Public Library for an interview, actually with the aforementioned Jane Kelly. So I'll get to chat with people there. I have a couple of book signings coming up. Actually, I'll be up in Maine this summer, and I'll be at Sherman's Books in Bar Harbor. There I'll be focusing more on The Sense of Reckoning, which is the book that takes place there. I'm also going to be doing a talk at the Southwest Harbor Public Library in August with Sean Cox, who's the person who had helped me with the research for that. That book has as its backstory a big fire that took place on Mount Desert Island in 1947 that burned, I think, 17,000 acres of the island, which includes Acadia National Park and Bar Harbor. And Sean had helped me with the research for the fire, so we're going to be giving a talk there. And then later in the year, I'm going to be attending some book fairs in the greater Philadelphia area. And all that is available out on my website, MaddieDalrymple.com, or on my Facebook page.
Okay, which is a perfect segue into, I was going to ask you, where can people find you on social media? Anything besides Facebook?
Facebook and Twitter are the two major places where I'm active. And I also, if people want to stay up to date via my email newsletter, they can sign up for that at MaddieDalrymple.com. And if you do that, you get access to a third, or to one of the three Lizzie Ballard shorts called Our Dancing Days. So that's available just to people on my email list, the members only option. And yeah, those are the best ways to get in touch with me.
Okay, perfect. We've covered quite a bit today, but is there anything else that you would like for people to know about your writing or your books or anything that we haven't covered?
Just that I would love to hear from people if people pick up any of my books and read them and enjoy them. Of course, reviews are always greatly appreciated, but I would always just love it if people drop me a note, let me know what they liked and even what they didn't like, because it's also helpful to hear, you know, if people felt like a character didn't act quite the way they expected. It's always helpful to hear what readers think about that. So I would encourage anyone to get in touch with me via my website, MaddieDalrymple.com.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day. I know it's release week, so you've got stuff going on. I appreciate you taking the time to talk with me. And can't wait for the next Lizzie's book so that I can, you know, find out what happens, but also excited about upcoming Anne books as well. So very much looking forward to that.
Thank you. It was great talking to you.
It was great talking to you, too. Thanks. Once again, thank you to my guest, Maddie Dalrymple, for taking the time out of her weekend to talk to me about her new book, Snakes and Ladders. It is out now, so you can get it and the first book. You can read them as standalones if that's what you prefer to do, or if you can only get one at a time. But if you can get them both and just make a weekend of it, or if you have a vacation coming up, perfect vacation reading. Love them. Can't wait to find out what happens to Lizzie. As I said, if you, at the beginning of this episode, if you are interested in Snakes and Ladders and would like to win a copy, be eligible to win a copy, that is possible. Maddie has been kind enough to give the podcast three copies of Snakes and Ladders that we will be giving away. Very easy. All you have to do is go onto social media, Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, comment on the post where we post episode 92. Interview with Maddie Dalrymple, and you'll be automatically entered to win a copy of Snakes and Ladders. That's it. Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, just comment whenever I post episode 92, and you will be entered to win a copy of Snakes and Ladders. Thank you again to Maddie. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you will join me again next time. Thursday, we'll be talking about books. I haven't decided exactly what yet. And then next week I have another interview, and that one is about a memoir. The author describes it as The Wonder Years, if you ever watched that show. I just blanked on the kid's name. But if the main character if he grew up in Brooklyn and got mugged. It's The Wonder Years. I just ruined that. He says it so much better. But that's next week on Tuesday. So I hope you will join me again for another fun interview. In the meantime, go out and get yourself lost in a good book. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.